everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, always exploring, just like a lot of you who are listening to this show, exploring, the multi-aspected things in my soul journey, where I'm going, where are we going as a collective, what's the personal dharma, what's the collective dharma, what's going on in 2012. And, you know, I love it when we do our meditation together and create a higher frequency community together. And I also love it when you call in with your questions so we can talk about what are your stumbling blocks? Where are you going? Where are you headed in this life? What's holding you up? How many of you are aware of, I had a whole plan of what we're going to talk about, but I changed it because I'm a Gemini and it's more fun that way, I think. Although I know I shouldn't just believe in that being the only reason. It seems that the guides would like me to talk about something that happened today, which was how many of you are involved in the Oneness Blessing movement that's coming in from India? And the idea is, for those of you who don't know, I'll explain it, that there's a transmission that comes from high-frequency beings. So people go see the guru over in India or in various places in the world now. You go see the guru in order to get the transmission, because when you can get that incredible transmission of high-frequency energy, you can pick up speed in terms of your own evolution, and it can awaken your brain. It's called the Diksha, and I've mentioned it before, but I'm sure a lot of you know all about it. But in any case, I've been participating. I did in the Bay Area for quite a while, and then I dropped it for about 6 years, and now I'm doing it again. But the difference now is they used to have a leader that had gone to India, and you'd all go to visit the leader maybe once a week, and the leader would touch your head, and then your brain would literally pick up frequencies and speed, and you would have more possibility of awakening to totality than you'd ever had before. And then nowadays they've done it so that if you do a weekend blessing weekend, you get to also conduct these frequencies, and then you touch other people's heads, and people are touching the heads, taking some enlightenment and passing it on. I kind of get the giggles at the whole idea that we're basically activating one another's brains to awaken. So anyway, a lot of you, I know this from speaking to you from my broad, varied, and textured client base and so on, that a lot of you have some problems with male authority and female authority and so on. And we keep hearing that this time on the planet is the rising of the feminine to take its place in the collective. And as we do the oneness, I went to this big group of oneness blessings today, and whenever I, as an intuitive, do it and they start the process, I can feel the buzzing of the higher energies coming through. But very often I see in the presence, they say to bring in how you personify the divine. That means, do you think of Jesus? Do you think of Buddha? Do you think of all of the above? Do you think of the Divine Mother? And this movement was actually initiated by Bhagavan and Amma, who are a couple over in India. And some people see them, and they personify the divine through them. And sometimes I'll get somebody like Sai Baba coming through. So I get a lot of like movies going on in my visions when I'm doing it. And as we're passing on the blessings through other people's heads and brains and so on, I try to stay focused on the presence of divinity as I've learned about it. So I often see, I like Jesus, I like the divine feminine. I like a number of saints, and I see the Bhagavan, I see Amma, I see Sai Baba, I see Krishnamurti, or I see Ramakrishna, so on and so forth. Anyway, today it was very interesting. Some people go in to get their heads touched and get their awakening, and some people just start crying like mad, or they laugh like mad. And I don't really do that. I don't know whether I'm shy or cautious or what. It hasn't really touched me that way. Today, as soon as it started happening, I saw the divine feminine in such a way that I just started to weep. And all I could see was this beautiful, kind of chubby, like for those of you who've seen Amachi or even Amma, Bhagavan's Amma, who are in charge of the Oneness Blessing group and the movement and so on, they tend to be sort of buxom, soft, beautiful women that are kind of the epitome of nurturing. So I saw a very radiant form of that in front of me, and I felt, this is something I don't know if I've felt in my life very much at all, but I felt the quintessential nurturing, loving care of the feminine. I have never felt, I felt it once before when I was sitting on one of the vortexes in Sedona, where I just totally lost it and I cried and cried, because it felt so, safe, protective, loving, embracing. That's what happened to me today. And I really enjoyed it, even though I ran tears, and it lasted most of the time through the hour of the Oneness Blessing. But the reason I wanted to talk about it, outside of the fact I think it's very interesting, is that I keep meeting clients, as I said to you, who are really dealing with frustration with the male, the patriarchy, the authoritative aspect of the way our species has been run by the male. And as I say, we keep hearing that there's going to be a rise in the divinity. And I just realized how it melted. This vision I was having was absolutely physical. I could feel her presence in a big way. But it melted so many defenses that you don't even know. I don't know about you, but for me, I don't even know how many ways I'm defended until the defenses start to unstrap themselves. The girdle starts to release, if you know what I mean. So I wanted us all to consider that. And when we're doing our meditation, I want us to consider what it feels like when we draw in, and it's not that I don't love the masculine, because I do, but when we draw in the feeling of the divine feminine, even for you guys, right, it is a wonderful, protective, absolutely unconditional feeling. It's just beautiful. Now, our guides and angels will often bring us very unconditional, loving feelings. But I felt like this was kind of an accentuated flavor. It was very, very beautiful. So maybe we'll draw that in, or the ambiance that you yourself would prefer, when we do our gathered meditation. And then I want you to call in with your questions. Oh, and here's on Jackie's show tonight. She's going to be talking about abductees and the correlating PTSD of that. And PTSD, for those of you who don't know, is post-trauma stress, very often linked to people who have been at war, and they've been in, being shot and fired at, and they're always running in a state of trauma and shock. So after they come home, just certain sounds, it runs like a reaction through your body, mind, so a certain sound can trigger the repeating of that experience as if they're really in the state of war. Now, when she's talking about the abductees, and she's going to talk about post-trauma stress, most of us have some version of it, even a tiny wee version of it, but it's even bigger, or it's maybe a little different when you've been abducted by an extraterrestrial species of some sort. And the reason I'm bringing that in and linking it with this incredible vision that I had is that there's something here, like I have my own version of post-trauma stress because I've had a lot of stuff in my life, like most of you have, and I know that sometimes some kind of experience will trigger a big trauma, and it may not be that traumatic an experience, but I go into a state of adrenaline rush or trauma. And as we worked with bringing up our core beliefs and so on, sometimes that's what flushes up in me and my brain goes into extreme overload till I calm it down, because it's going into big trauma about why or what's behind a big belief like nobody cares about me, I'm not good enough, or some of those that a lot of us share, you know. I don't want to get into all that. I just want to say, isn't it amazing the mosaic that we are? And that these deep, deep feelings can soothe other feelings. So I felt like, oh, that feminine that I had really took care of a huge amount of trauma in me. Now, not permanently, I don't think. I don't know. I'd have to go through some more drama, which I'm sure will happen, before I can find that out. I don't know if this was a permanent fix. But I certainly know this, that once we have a certain kind of emotional experience, we can bring it back in. We can choose to bring it forward. We can choose to surround ourselves with that feeling. We can call it in. So let's get to work on some of this. Let's create some ambiance in our sacred geometric meditation. Let's create the kinds of feelings that you want to be in and that I want to be in. We don't all have to want to be in the feminine, the mothering, and so on. But maybe we do. I don't know. You can decide that, okay? All right, so let's all join one another in a big community meditation here. Let's call in. First of all, take a couple of deep breaths. One more. And then above your head, about 2 miles, create a golden ball, beautiful, radiant golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a radiant filament of gold light from the upper golden ball through the spine into the lower golden ball. And now we drop our octahedron, four-sided pyramid pointing up and a four-sided pyramid pointed down. And where they meet point to point at the base, they create a diamond. So you've got an eight-sided diamond. And inside of that, create a crystal ball. And the outside edges of your crystal ball nudge the inside edges of your diamond. And then inside the crystal ball there, you are in a star tetrahedron, which is a three-dimensional Star of David. And it's actually the Merkaba or Merkaba. And remember, inside of that, there you are with this beautiful gold filament running through your spine. And remember, I refer back to our paradigm shifter, Bob Frizzell, and he was talking about the Merkaba, or the Star of David, that's around all of us, and then we learn how to use it, which we're not going to go into tonight. But he said always you have to include coming from the heart. So drop in there, inside your star tetrahedron, get that heart lit up. And now let's spin and spin and spin. Good, spin and spin and spin. That's it. And as you're spinning, we see in front of us this magical screen, and the first screen, okay, and on the first screen there's a movie of you becoming what you want to become. Mm-hmm. So here today I'm saying I want to be multidimensional, which I always say, and come from the heart, but I also want to feel that amazing power of the feminine support, the mothering support. I want to feel that, and I can actually. I can really feel it. What is it you want to become? And when you feel like you're getting there in terms of your own feelings, wrap that in light and move to the next screen. And on that screen, you're creating what you want to create. And I'm still creating my television show, guess what? What are you creating? I'm seeing all the resources, all the pieces coming together to bring my dream goal into fruition. And it can be small and it can be big. It can be a family, a book, a house, a movie, a television show, anything you want. And wrap it in light. Oh, I said see all the pieces coming together, all the resources, but now, well, let's see it accomplishing itself. So it's actually functioning. So there's my movies or my television shows functioning really well. Everybody's loving them. And the resources come to sustain them. Oh, my goodness. See it? Good. I can see that. And then wrap that in light. And let it just stew away there. This is your vision. And now we have the next screen, or the next movie, is in our Galactic Healing Center. And you call in your healing team around a healing table. And the first person you bring in is yourself, remember? So I flop myself down on the table and ask the healing team. Now, you all have a healing team, right? You have beings around you that want to be there. to lay on the table and you ask her what it is you need, what they want to give you. Okay. Oh my, they're pulling things out of me today. Woohoo! What about you? What's going on with you? Are they soothing you, organizing you? Mm-hmm. Okay. And they might have a little message for you. Okay, so then you might even want to jot that little message down. And you know what? I'm getting also the message that we need to laugh more. So let's have fun with this. Now wrap that in light and let the stewing of your healing take place over here on the right. The team replicates themselves around a fresh table. And then we bring somebody in you want to help, okay? And I want to help my somebody who's a wonderful being. And she's got a very severe case of colitis. It's a very severe case. And she comes in and lies down on the table. Mm-hmm. And we're asking the team what to do about that. Let's call in the beings that go with the team that are of different levels of consciousness. So it's like we're seeing layers and layers and layers of these great beings. Different dimensions of our existence around this wonderful person. And what is the issue here? Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's two things. They're working on her brain and on her belly and on her emotional body. Who did you bring to the table? And just see what they're doing. Yeah, they're moving energy all around, pulling it out. They're pulling out some very deep, and this is very interesting to me. They're pulling things out of her brain, but also all along the spine. They're pulling out some ways in which she has kept herself, we would say, safe. Let's ask to infuse the feminine support that we had earlier. Let's ask this wonderful being to come in and nurture our friend here. Good work. I can just feel that flood of feminine energy. Yeah. She has to make a decision and she has to release herself. And they're telling her that. And I think she can hear them. Now wrap it in light and move that one to the side. And the next one is a woman. Oh, let's have the team surround a fresh table. Remember, the team can replicate themselves. When you're in the etherical, it's pretty magical, isn't it? And then multidimensional again, and we're bringing in a woman who has been out of a job. She's been in a very, very chaotic and painful changing times over the last 10 years with her late teen, early adult children going through addictions and her trying to do businesses and sell them off and protect the kids. And oh my goodness, she's been very noble, very spiritual, trying extremely hard, and is kind of tired now, but seems like most of the trauma is done, but her little body is exhausted. So let's have her lie on the table. And again, we're going to bring in our wonderful, we're going to call her Amma again. We're going to bring her in and have that ambiance of feminine support and all the team around. And all they're doing here is flushing her with the most amazing, loving, supportive vibration. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is pulling out a knot that's way in her subconscious. Pulling out a knot. And when it comes out, she's going to be much more creative. She's going to have to find her own way now. We want her to be energized. Sometimes when we have a knot in us, it's like a plug, and it keeps our energy really low, and we don't have the creative verve it takes to really do things your own way. So let's wrap her in light and move her to the side. And let's bring in the political. Woo! All right. Let's bring in the political world. Let's bring in our government and the big election, all the details. You can bring in the details you want. We're going to put them all on the table, and we're having realms and realms and realms of support. And what is the ultimate goal here is that there be consciousness on all levels of our government and leadership, right? So let's just bring in as many of the beings as you can see, whether it's Romney and Gingrich and Obama and so on and so forth. Bring as many in as you'd like and see them be infused with consciousness. How about the lobbyists? And how about some of the big names of people behind the scenes? I don't want to try and dredge up the numbers, the names, because I'm not great at that. But I can sort of see them in position, and they have their hidden agendas, not so hidden agendas. They have their corporate agendas and so on. Let's see them being softened, seeing them developing self-love. And maybe if we brought in our feminine Ama relationship again, that nice, that beautiful, loving, comforting, creative, nurturing, soothing feminine energy, if we brought that in and just absolutely infused these people with the feeling of being protected and nurtured and fed and clothed and loved and supported and nurtured to growth. Okay, let's just fill it all up. And then all these beings and realms of beings beyond that are all working away here. Now let's call in a kind of a salmon-colored light and have it come down and infuse these people with their own unique waking up process. Yeah, they get to wake up. Let's do this in Diksha, color Diksha. How's that? Blessings. And we just wrap them in light. Good. That feels really good, actually. And then we'll move those over to the side while they're bathed in these colored lights. And let's take this pinky salmony light of harmony, expansion, growth, and just a really rich possibility light and have it touch all the hot spots on our planet, all the places where you think things are really going in a difficult way, the financial areas, physical, where people are very sick, where people are politically estranged, where there's tremendous rebellion and bloodshed. Let's just surround it all with this incredibly nurturing pink and gold light and move it round and round and round our planet. I'm thinking of Jackie's show coming up and see it just emanating and being bright and pulsing and moving out in such a way as it attracts the heart and the mutual caring of beings who live in different dimensions. And they can see that our earth plane is really coming into much more harmony. And then wrap that light round and round and round our planet and bring it back around and around and in your hands, in your arms, back in your heart, and then straight up into the great central sun. And then let's zipper shut our healing, galactic hospital, our galactic healing center, and jump into the star tetrahedron with me. And let's spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And then I want you to call in. I hope you're going to call in with your questions. Bob's not here today, so I don't even have the numbers, but you've all got them sitting right on the front of your computer there, haven't you? So call in. And oh, Seth, I forgot to ask you to call Deb O'Connor and find out if she wants to talk to us tonight as well. Will you do that for us?
Yeah,
or
do.
Deb? Thank you. So let's take a look at some people out there. What's going on with you? How many of you feel a lack of feminine support and comfort? How many? Oh, a whole bunch of you. I can see that. Or the other thing is, if you're a girl person, or even you guys, it doesn't always feel safe on our planet to be in your feminine, does it? And yet that's going to be a part of our evolution, is the rearranging and the balancing of the male and female. So call in with whatever you want to comment on, and I'm hoping that Deb will be calling in any second. Are you Deb, huh? She might have forgotten because she's moving. But if she has, then we'll just take your calls instead. Yeah. Now, you know what's really funny is I can see a woman here who is, she's really amazing, actually. She's old. And I'm not saying that in a pejorative way. She is old, and she is proud of it. And she looks a little bit like I described the Amma figure, except this one woman looks old as a person. She doesn't look like a healing teacher and so on. But she is so amazingly rich inside, and
Deb,
she's standing.
You have 10 minutes.
Thank you. Thanks, Seth. He says Deb's coming on in 10 minutes. But I'm looking at this wonderful lady, and she is showing herself to me and saying, look, I look kind of old, and I look a bit decrepit, but you know what? I am so rich inside, and I am fiercely feminine. She's saying I'm fiercely feminine, and it's a wonderful combination, isn't it, Doug? I'm fiercely feminine, meaning I know how to nurture. Stride forward. Goody, you're calling. I just want to finish this thought. I will stride forward and nurture people, and you can't stop me. It's just beautiful. She's just smiling at me, and I'm just grateful. She's just a lovely soul. Good evening. You're on the air. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good. This is Lisa. I feel like I talked to you last
I
month.
Know who you are, so at least I know little bits of who you are. How you doing?
I'm good. I have a question, but I did want to make a comment real quick on the female energy. I feel like the woman you were just describing, even though I'm sure it wasn't me, that the whole nurturing element, that feminine element, is mm-hmm. really kind of oozing out of me right now.
Oh, is that ever wonderful?
Yeah, it really is.
And tell me this, Lisa, does it empower you?
It does, and it's actually quite interesting because it's not a familiar feeling. I don't recognize it to be like a strength of mine, and so I'm developing
it. Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
maybe it's just because I think it's flowing into us and through us and around us, and I'm not used to it at all, so you can probably see why I just started to cry. I started to just...
Oh, wow, yeah. It's quite interesting. Divine feminine, I think, is this nurturing aspect that's really kind of like charging up. I find it fascinating.
I do too, so I'll do a little more research on it. Somebody told me today that in Iceland, where they had terrible financial traumas, you know, when the whole meltdown came on, that the women are now in power, and to watch that. So that's worth looking into, isn't it? Yeah. So how about you, honey? Did you get your job?
No, and I'm calling because I'm still looking. But I am actually feeling a lot more like things are starting to happen. And certain doors are starting to open finally. But I'm wondering if you can see if anything is going to happen in the month of February for me, because I know I need to be patient. There's a part of me that's just like, what else can I do?
I think that, you know, I keep thinking you're going to get it at the beginning of February.
Really?
Did you go through, let's see if we've got our time sense. Sometimes I'm not great with time. Some of my clients said, you're so good with time, and other ones say, good grief. But so let's see if we can get a timeline, because it looks like something happened for you on the second week in January. Is that right? This is me trying
to
know.
Yeah, the first week of January was like a blast, and then it stopped. And then after the second week, I just took off. Something just snapped in me. I was like, all right, let's go.
Okay, good. So maybe when I said the second week in January, I'm talking about the lapse. So let's turn it around a little bit and ask for a little bit of clarity. Okay, you have something coming up in the first week in February that reminds me of the second week in January, so I'm sorry about that.
Ah.
But right after that, it seems like you move up, and there's a kind of a little plateau where you got you have possibilities. We spoke about them maybe even before Christmas, where you're going to have some possibilities, a little row of them or something. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I feel like you said two options or something.
Yeah. But they're not quite here yet.
So I need to be patient.
I think it's, I think you have to keep beating the bushes, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I feel like I can't sit. I have to do my due diligence.
Yeah, and you have done a fair amount of it. So I have to leave you now because we have another beep, and it might be Deb, but it might be another caller.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll let you know, I guess, the second week of February.
Yeah, and keep with that feminine energy. I think you can keep channeling that and embracing that, and it will make you feel really powerful.
Good to know. Thank you.
All right. All right, bless you. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Just fine. Did you have Marcy on last week that does the music by Marcy?
I don't know.
Okay, maybe it was someone else, but she does healing with music. I just thought it might be you. I listened to BBS Radio on Thursday, and I wasn't sure if it was you or not. I was going to thank you. Because the music's really incredible. But what I wanted to ask you to, I came across a lady twice today within a half an hour that I used to work with that now has a nerve disease.
Uh-oh.
And, really, it could turn into Parkinson's. And I got the feeling of, you know, I first saw her and her boyfriend outside where I was shopping. Then I went into a store, and there she was again. I thought, what is this connection here? And I do healing, do hands-on healing, and I'm always looking for ways to help myself heal and other people. And I was thinking, why did I see her within that period of time? You know, because I never ever see her. And what do you feel about that?
Okay, first of all, I think there is some connection between you and she, and you're going to see her again. You are going to work with her, you know.
I think somebody needs to help her with her energy field because she doesn't think she doesn't have any hope, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like people to feel that way because there's always hope and there's always ways to help yourself. You know, there's so many different ways of getting your energy balanced, you know, and I don't think she knows the right direction.
Well, you're going to help her, honey. And she's teaching you something. You need to step up to the bat. Do you do a lot of healing energy work?
No, not a lot. I could, but I don't because I also help animals. You know, I help dogs and cats that I've rescued, and it takes some time. Plus, I have a job at night. So I'd like to do more healing work, but I don't know how I'm going to fit it all in. You know.
Yeah, what kind of a job do you do?
I'm a food server.
But you know what's interesting about you is you're going to come to a time of big change, and it's about claiming your own power. And a lot of the healing comes from the feminine part of our nature, whether you're a boy person or a girl person, right? And
right.
I really think you're going to step into the world, and it's going to take a ton of courage on your part and do the healing with dogs and cats or animals of all kinds and with people. But you're not quite ready yet, are you?
No.
It's okay, because it's going to come. But I feel like when you saw her the second time, it really triggered a huge awakening in your belly, in your stomach, and your chest area. There's something in you that knows, it feels uncomfortable when you're not actually doing something about these things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but what was so weird about it is I didn't have a good relationship with her when we worked because she was always trying to get me and other people in trouble and just looking for the negative in the job all the time. It was like I haven't worked with her for over 2 or 3 years, and I don't feel any animosity towards her or anything. You know, I've always been very loving or whatever, and then to have her literally just walk in my path, you know, when I'm driving my car, and then again when I go into a store, was like, wow. What's this all about?
You know what's really funny, though? And what's your first name?
Joni.
Joni. Have we talked before, Joni?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, I thought so. I remember years ago being kind of shocked because when you do healing work, it's like you're kind of schizoid, because I remember working with somebody I couldn't stand who was actually doing illegal things, and all the time I was working with him and on him, I loved him madly. Not in love with him, but you know what I mean? You can't help but channel the love, and it really is irrelevant that she was a poo at work.
It really is. It's past, you know, on my part. It's past, but I just find it kind of almost amusing that she doesn't even work where I work anymore, and I just stumble on her, not just once, but twice within a half-hour period. It's like, okay, God, what is this about?
Well, Joni, I think you're going to be pulled into the healing world in a big way, probably by about March or so. But don't write it on your calendar with me, because I don't trust my sense of time or my guide's sense of time.
Oh, no. I'm in the process of writing a book, too, that's supposed to be healing, too. So I don't know.
Well, is the book on healing with animals?
It's about child abuse and coming through it, and it's supposed to help people. The intention is to help people through my own experience and what I did to help myself.
Okay.
And what I went through.
But you're potentially very much a psychic, aren't you?
Very much.
Yeah. And that often is one of the good side effects of a good dollop of abuse, right?
Oh, yeah. It makes you more sensitive.
Well, I think it steps people out of their body so they get to work outside of the 3D. Don't you think?
You think so?
I think it's what it does. I think we, as human beings, decide to get out of the body to get away from the pain, you see. And then once you're out, it's like breaking a membrane, you can get out, right?
Well, when I took hands-on healing, the teacher told us the children or adult children from child abuse tended to make better healers for some reason, that they seem to be more intuitive. And I think it's just from having to survive. You know, you learn to be more sensitive to clues of everything around you.
Yeah, the watcher.
You have more compassion.
I think that's absolutely right, but I also think that you get to pop out of your body in ways that other people don't have to. You know, humans will do that if they have to. I think it's
I
a combination.
Thought that before.
Yeah, well, anyway, I really am glad you called in. I appreciate your call, and it certainly is food for thought and more thought, and we want to hear from you in a while. Let us know what you're doing.
I will.
And let us know about that book. Hey, Joni? Okay. Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Deb. What have you done with Mars lately?
Mars, isn't it something? Mars is, you know, going backward. It started to go backward on Monday afternoon, mm-hmm. And it's some of what you were talking about at the beginning of the show about. I think the greatest gift of this particular energy process will be helping us to feel where we're defended internally at a subconscious level. Help us to recognize our inner defenses, because Mars is always about action that's oriented toward the outer. I mean, it's always sort of pushing us forward and throwing us.
But
out
if it's
the
retrograde, does that mean the action goes inside?
Yeah. So we look more internally at what it is the energy is, and with Mars, Mars is so much about our courage and our will, but it's also really just about our energy. So I think a lot of it will be, you know, the part of Mars that astrologers love to call the warrior, the inner warrior, really has to do with what we're defending. Mars is always very good at defending when it's pointed outward. But so when it goes, when we're looking then back, reflecting back inwardly, we're looking at where we're defended inside. But I think we're also looking really seriously right now, everybody, at how we want to spend our precious energy. You know, really stopping. Mars, when it goes backwards, slows us down. Nobody likes that. nobody really wants to slow down very much. But
well, you know what? I like to slow down because I go too fast a lot of the time, and I don't get to savor deepening processes.
Well, I think, yeah, and that's sort of the paradox this time. We talked about it a little bit last week, but the fact that really when Mars is one of the shadows of Mars is a lack of patience. So when it goes retrograde, it's really asking us to consider patience and the incredible healing that comes from that, taking a step at a time consciously instead of just sort of blasting our way forward, which is what we usually do with Mars. And I was also listening just delightedly to you talk about the experience you had today with Divine Feminine. And I want to tell you that this morning, really early, like 4:30 this morning out here on the West Coast, the moon in Pisces was merged completely with Venus in Pisces. And isn't that beautiful? The two planets of the feminine merged in the last sign of the zodiac, which is the sign of spirit. So you've got, it was a perfect time today to have that feeling of extraordinary sort of expansiveness around the feminine. And then as the moon kept moving through further into Pisces throughout the day, it got to the point later this afternoon where it was exactly opposite Mars. So you've got that beautiful desire to balance the moon mother energy with the male Mars energy.
And if Mars is power in a way, and it's in
Virgo, which is service and healing.
So I'm just going to throw another question at you, Deb. If your Mars is in, I always say my Mars is in Pisces, so everybody knows that. But if your Mars is in a feminine sign like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that make a huge difference on what happens when it goes retrograde?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing about all of this that we talk about is that I'm always just talking in these broad general terms, and I hope that everybody knows that we are, each one of us, when there's a transiting planet like the one we're always talking about, it's sending information back to its home base. And each one of us has Mars in a different sign. So if it's sending its energy back to somebody who has Mars in Aries, which is a fiery, fiery Mars sign, then that person is going to get a much different hit from the retrograde Mars than somebody like you who has Mars in Pisces. And you know, Pisces has traditionally been called a feminine sign, but I would rather talk about Pisces as a sign that's not even so much androgynous as multigender. I mean, it's the last sign, so it's a sign of all spirit. And, you know, the expansiveness of that takes into everything into account. So it's just this huge, beautiful expression of love, Mars. I always tell you that I think your Mars in Pisces is so much the sign of the, I don't even like to say it anymore, but the spiritual warrior. Or somebody who's like a mission. You know, but more like the mystical, like you have a lot of passion for the mystical.
Hmm. Well,
so
that's
what,
true.
So here's, yeah, and when Mars is in Virgo, like it is right now, it's on the other side of the zodiac from your own Mars, because Virgo and Pisces oppose each other. Mm-hmm. So you're getting this beautiful balance between Virgo and Pisces, which are both about service. But Pisces is service to the divine, ineffable world, and Virgo is service to this manifested three-dimensional world. So you're getting a balance between how you want to spend your energy, basically integrating the two planes, the plane of the materialized third dimension and the plane of the completely expansive out of any dimensional Pisces realm.
Hmm.
Serving both.
Wonderful. So it's throwing back into the experience of oneness blessings, for example. The way you're talking about Pisces, the moon and Venus?
And Venus. Also both on your Mars.
Right, so it must be a very nurturing time out there, is it?
It depends upon what you want to do with the time. You know, when Mars is going backward, if somebody has chosen up to this point to see themselves as a victim, then the potential to act that out almost passive-aggressively and kind of crazily is even greater when the planet's going backward, because then the subconscious is going to be in play. And
so it's going to amp it up, you mean?
Yeah, well, when the subconscious comes into play, things can get wicked because people are doing things even more unconsciously than usual. But I think that it's a magical time anytime any planet comes through Pisces, because we're into a time of transcendence and acceptance of what's given, if we can work with it well. If we don't work with it well, we can just get phenomenally confused. And
okay,
can,
so just one second, Deb. I'm just going to ask the person who called in, if you just stay on hold just for a little bit longer, and I want, Deb, you to finish that thought, because that's a good thought.
Well, Pisces, is because it's the last sign and the sign of absolute unconditional love, and like the whole conscious loving heart of the divine, if we can stay with that, part of what we have to do is transcend our, it helps us to transcend the everyday mundane worrying about the material realm. But we have to go into a state of surrender to be able to do that in order to accept what's given. And if we don't do that, we get confused, and we can also turn to some sort of an addiction to try to sort of basically take ourselves out of the confusion or out of what we consider to be mayhem. I mean, that's really the place where the whole human species is right now, because Chiron is traveling with Neptune. That's a whole other thing. I'm not going to go into that. But they're both in Pisces. Well, Neptune's not in Pisces yet. It's coming in February to stay. But anyway, yeah, I want your caller to have her time, so I want to just sort of be still about it.
Okay, well, would you like to hang on just in case she wants to ask you a question as well?
Sure.
Good evening. You're on the air. Thank you for being patient. I hope you were.
Yeah.
Hi, Brett.
My question is about the financial system. I watch the news pretty close. I listen to alternative news, and I keep hearing that there's going to be a new system, new global financial system to replace the old one. It's supposed to be fair to the average people, and I'm involved in a couple of different things, I don't think that it's going to come through for me until the new system comes in. And I got a couple of different scenarios that I'm looking at. I'm hoping, I would like to see it happen in February, shortly after, and if it doesn't happen then, I'm probably looking at June or July, and I was wondering what you thought about that.
Okay, well, it's a very good question, and I don't really know the answer, because as you're talking, it's moving around like mad. Maybe Deb would have something to say, but I'm seeing more that April to July, we're going to see the rising of that. It's going to begin to take a kind of a form. It's not complete by then. And that's how I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
And I've seen some of that information as well, and it's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Basically, I guess, well, part of it is that 192 countries are going to be revaluing their currency. And then I keep hearing that there's going to be a whole new global system that it's supposed to be backed by gold, but I'm hearing that it may not happen until the summertime, because they're going to wait till after some of the economies crash in Europe, and when that happens, that's going to expose the majority of the bad guys. And then we'll be able to build the new system from there.
Yeah, I think, you know, how I was going to say it is that there's some really awful power struggles going to go on between February and April.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how that looks astrologically, but I think when you said some of the bad guys will be revealed, I really think behind the scenes there's some huge grappling going on right now.
Right. I totally agree with that, and I was kind of hoping we'd see it settled by next month, but then some of my other information says it's going to be this summer. And
well, you know, and I don't know if we're always ruled by astrology, because as Deb keeps telling us, there's so many variables there, but it seems like seems to me anyway that things will be going in for reassessments till April. That's how it looks to me.
Yeah.
And astrologically, that's when Mars turns around too, in the middle of April, and that's when the energy goes back out. The push goes back out into the world, so we can go forward with things.
Mm-hmm. But and so it could be that people are grappling for power during that time, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Because Mars is also the sign of the male, and anger, and you know, and all the things that are part of the thing that's coming apart.
Yeah, I always thought that Jupiter played a large part in financial transactions
That's kind of archaic. That's sort of old fashioned astrology. Jupiter has so much to do with abundance. And a lot of people who work with the astrological language in a much more traditional kind of, I feel like it's kind of a stuck way, we'll also talk about Venus having a lot to do with money. So both Venus and Jupiter are sometimes lined up with money, but the thing to remember is that so much depends with these planets on which sign they're coming through and which house in your zodiac they're moving through. So we can talk in vague generalities on the radio, but until somebody actually looks at your chart to see which of your houses Jupiter's moving through. And it is in Taurus right now, which is a sign often associated with money. So Jupiter in Taurus is, and it's finishing a ride through Taurus. And ironically, it's going to be done with that ride in early summer, just right after Mars turns around to go direct. So I feel like from the astrological picture, things are going to really pop this summer in every way imaginable.
Right.
Woohoo!
Right.
Well, that sounds good.
I keep
and I have
it.
To say goodbye, not because I don't love you both, but because I'm going to run out of time here.
All right, thanks for your time,
Brett. Thank you.
Brian. Hey, thanks for your call, Brett. And give your information, Deb.
Deb@lovedogdesign.com. Thank you so much. Good night.
It was fun. Thanks for calling in. So this
fun.
Is Veronica Entwistle saying, wow, we're looking forward to some big dynamics. So let that Mars retrograde, I guess, take you inside to savor and nurture how you're going to use your power and call Deb for a personal reading. Oh, my. My Paradigm Shifters on Tuesday night is going to be a rerun of Hyla Kass. Dr. Hyla Kass is a real expert on the brain and nurturing the brain. Now, last week's Paradigm Shifter was Louisa Williams, Dr. Louisa Williams, and she told us amazing things about how your body-mind goes together. She's a naturopathic doctor and also a spiritual teacher and so on. So I thought it would be wise to follow it up with Hyla Kass and her feminine perspective, her doctor perspective on the brain, amino acids, and all kinds of things you can do to enhance the way your brain functions, even if Mars is retrograde. Ha, ha, ha. So tune in on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock and stay tuned for Jackie Salvidi, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And tonight she's going, as I said, she's going to be talking about abductees and post-trauma stress syndrome that many people who don't even know they're abductees have from that. It'll be very interesting. And, of course, the team is always a blessed wonder. So stay tuned. See you at the top of the hour. Many blessings to all of you. And thank you so much for listening to the show. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and you can contact me, Veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, for feedback on these shows, suggestions for guests, or even if you'd like to have a session with me and my guides and angels. Good night, everybody. Much love.